Good evening and welcome to worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Holy and loving God, we've gathered here tonight to seek your way. Lord, we ask that you might calm our hearts, that you might open our minds and our lives to you, to your will, to the word that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be at peace and silence as you listen for the Holy One. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judea. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judea. O God, you are my God. I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. During this silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the kneeler to be anointed for healing for yourself or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or offering, you're welcome to do so. As you come forward to light a candle, take communion, or exit the worship center. From Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. from Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Our psalm this evening is one that comes from a place of desperation and despair. We're told that it's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Because there's a reference to being a king in verse 11 of the psalm, which we didn't actually read, we can be fairly certain that the wilderness period that this psalm is referring to occurred when David was fleeing from Absalom. Now, Absalom was one of King David's sons. And we're told in 2 Samuel that at one point, Absalom decides that he should be king instead of David. So he gathers an army and he makes a run for the throne. And while he's not really successful in getting the throne, he does do enough to scare David, and King David flees from Jerusalem into the wilderness for a time. So imagine, if you will, David's emotions and thoughts during this time. Not only has his power as king been challenged, it's been challenged by his own son. And not only has his power been challenged, but it has forced him to leave everything that he knows. His home, his life, his ways, his routine, and he has gone into the wilderness. I think we could forgive King David if he approached God in this psalm with some rage and some anger, if he was ready to turn away from God, if he wanted to reject God the same way he was rejected by his son. And yet, even in the midst of desperation and despair, that's not what this psalm is. Instead, it's a psalm of deep longing, a psalm in which David's very soul is seeking and reaching out to God. David says his soul is thirsting for God, that he feels fainted and dry. His soul needs God like his body needs water. Just listen again to some of the words at the beginning and consider David's situation in writing them. He begins, O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. In the wilderness, David's very soul reaches out to God. David was not only physically in the wilderness at the time, he was also spiritually in the wilderness. And for us, while we might not know what it's like to be physically fleeing from danger or despair and end up in the wilderness, we understand spiritual and emotional wilderness. We know times when it seems like what we know and trusted is no longer there. We know times when others have rebelled against us or hurt us. We know times when somebody has tried to take away something that's very important to us. We know the wilderness. We know despair. We know desperation. And yet, I wonder if it's especially during those times that we start to truly understand what it means to long for God. That it's during those times that we start to pay attention to the truth that our souls are always thirsting for God. And then when we realize that our souls are truly thirsting for God, we can start to have the same kind of response that David has in this psalm. It's then we can start fully praising God because we're really experiencing God's steadfast love as better than life. We lift our hands and we call out to God because our souls thirst to praise God. We meditate and we think of God at all times, when we first wake up in the morning and the last thing before we go to sleep at night. Our souls will cling to God because we believe that it's only through God's grace that we are upheld each and every day. But there's a little more to the psalm than even that, because it also calls us to think about how we can make sure our souls are thirsting for God even when we aren't in the wilderness. How can we be people seeking to praise God and call on the name of the Lord all the time? How can we experience the steadfast love of God that's better than life every day? Well, it starts by paying attention. Sometimes it's easier to pay attention to our need for God when we're out in the wilderness, when everything that we're used to having as comfort or distraction is gone. And yet, when all that stuff is there, our souls are still thirsting for God. We just aren't paying attention. Instead, we paid attention to our day-to-day life, to our comfort, to our busyness, or to our other distractions. And then we miss that our souls are out there searching for God. So we just strive to pay attention. So much of what we pay attention to now is involuntary. You pay attention to your phone when it buzzes or it dings, or your attention goes to the loudest voice in the room. Your attention goes to the person who says your name. But as Christians, we're called to make voluntary choices about where our attention goes. We're called to pay attention to God. We're called to set aside time, to remove distractions, and to pay attention to our need for God. Because when we fail to make our attention to God a priority, we fail to see our need and our thirst for God. And then it's not again until we find ourselves in the wilderness that we're reminded that God is there for us. Instead, we can pay attention and receive the steadfast love of God each and every day. We can pay attention and desire God. We can pay attention and enjoy God all the time. So pay attention, cling to God when you're in the wilderness and when you're right at home. Allow yourself to receive God's steadfast love that is better than life. And then when you are in the wilderness, you will already be connected with and longing and desiring God. Before we go into communion, I want to share a wilderness blessing poem with you by a poet, Jan Richardson. It goes, "Let us say this blessing began whole and complete upon the page. And then let us say that one word loosed itself and another followed it in turn. Let us say this blessing started to shed all it did not need, that line by line it returned to the ground from which it came. Let us say this blessing is not leaving you, is not abandoning you to the wild that lies ahead, but that it is loath to load you down on this road where you will need to travel light. Let us say perhaps this blessing became the path beneath your feet, the desert that stretched before you, the clear sight that finally came. Let us say that when this blessing at last came to its end, all it left behind was bread, wine, a fleeting flash of wing." Throughout Jesus' time on earth with us, We saw his soul longing to be in relationship with his Father, our Father. We saw him take time to pray. We saw him gather with others. We saw him gather with his disciples in that upper room before he knew he was going to be arrested and tried and sent to death. And we gathered with the disciples and took bread, gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you for forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. In our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion this evening by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup and receive both elements at the same time. I invite my server to come forward, and then you all are invited to come as you're ready. Go forth to pay attention to all that God is doing, to pay attention to your thirst for God, for your soul's deep longing for God's love. Go in peace. Amen.